Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Vit Friends Podcast, Living Life and Love. I'm your host, Mark Braxton from Raleigh, North Carolina. Vit Friends is a national vitiligo support community founded by Valerie Molyneux. For more information about vitiligo, Vit Friends, our support groups, our support community, ways you can donate or get involved, please visit www.vitfriends.org. If you have questions or comments, you can email us at support@vitfriends.org. While I'm waiting for my guests to arrive, I'm going to go ahead and go through a few announcements about some of our programs that are coming up with Vit Friends. So within the Vit Friends community, we have started classes. Our first class will be April 3rd. And that is with Maria Cruz from Puerto Rico, and she'll be teaching us some basic Spanish lessons. That is April 3rd at 2 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. Then we'll also have other classes such as cooking, painting, health 101. We're going to do wine 101 and other languages. So please feel free to visit our Vit Friends page and get involved with our classes. And those classes are $25 for the entire session, so it's not very expensive. So please consider joining our classes. Also, as you visit our community, please reach out through Smiles, which is the Amazon program. We have publications of books, and anytime you purchase anything from our Smiles program, we get a donation that is given to us through Amazon. And also, we have other events that are coming up on March 14th on my podcast. I will have Justin Hall at 2 o'clock p.m. And then on March 28th, I will have Lawrence Wingate at 2 o'clock p.m. Then we have a special Zoom event, which would be Meet the Board, and that will give our members an opportunity to meet the Vit Friends board and have a conversation with us. And it's a fun conversation. We like to laugh and joke and, you know, be a little silly and kind of let our hair down a little bit, because we know in this time of 2020-2021, you know, things are very challenging for all of us, and we feel like laughter is a great way to get us moving, to get us, you know, it's healthy, you know, and laughter is very important for all of us. So please consider joining us there. We'll have more information posted on the Vit Friends Facebook page as well. And then we have a very, very important meeting coming up on March 8th with the FDA. They're doing a public meeting in which we will have patient-focused drug development for vitiligo. So as of right now, we have over 900 people scheduled to attend this event. We will have panelists in which we can share our vitiligo stories to doctors, insurance companies, researchers, you know, and it's important for them to hear our story, to know what we go through as people living with vitiligo and the challenges that surrounds our condition. But those are some of the events and some of the things that are happening within our vitiligo community. And also, if you visit Vit Friends, we have other groups, not just for our adults. We have our Pen Pal Patch for our kids, and we also have our Purple Patch Teens program, which is very, very important for our youth. So please, if you have a teen or know of a teen that needs a support group, visit our Facebook page, and also have them join the Purple Patch program. It's very important for all of us to get involved and to support each other as a community. And I think that's all the announcements I have right now. However, let me go ahead and give out the guest call-in number. So if anybody would like to call in to talk to us once my guest arrives, then we can go from there. The guest call-in number is 516-666-9973. That is 516-666-9973. And a couple of things that I do want to talk about as I wait for my guests to arrive. As we navigate through a continued pandemic, sometimes we will have guests that will call in from their homes or whatever they're doing in their personal lives. So you might get kids in the background or if somebody else is in the household cooking or talking. Those things will happen, or if somebody's going to and from work. Those things will happen. It's natural. We are living in a unique time. No one's in the studio. Everybody's pretty much at home. There may be a few people in our home studios. And also, when we share the guest calling number, sometimes we will get calls from unique people. If you listen to our February 14th podcast, we had a gentleman call in that I don't know what his motive was, but I think it was kind of to throw us off a bit, which it didn't. But I feel like when people call in to, I guess, disrupt your show, it's not about how they react to you, it's how you react to them. And I think that's important that we are mindful how we react to others. And continue to move on with your podcast because these things will happen. Now, if anyone, while we're still waiting for our guests, if we have anyone out there who would like to call in and just to have a conversation until he arrives, the number again is 516-666-9973. Just to let our guests know, I am on Eastern Standard Time, so that could sometimes throw off when guests call in or when other people call in. I'm on Eastern Standard Time. And while we're waiting, and I don't mind talking about vitiligo and some of the challenges that go along with vitiligo, for some of our listeners, if you're not familiar with vitiligo, it is a skin condition that affects the pigment of our skin. And so vitiligo is different for every person. Every person that has it, it is not always the same. It doesn't look the same. You can look at 10 different people, but every person will have a different type of vitiligo, whether they have lost all pigmentation, some, or spotted. And there are some that are focal that it will only be in certain spots on the body, and we can't always see those spots. But I still say it affects all of us the same, where it can really make us introverted to a certain extent. And it doesn't affect everybody. There's some people who are highly confident in themselves and not introverted at all. But there are some of us, it makes you, I want to use the term a hermit to a certain extent. I put that on myself. It made me almost become a hermit because I didn't want to go outside. I did not want to go to the beach, the park. I didn't want to wear shorts. Certain things I didn't want to do. I didn't want to be in big social groups. And I wasn't always like that. I've always been introverted. However, I will still be social, but having vitiligo and seeing it develop, it kind of made me want to stay in the house more often. Now, once again, everybody's vitiligo is different. And I've had people question just by looking at my regular pictures, you know, if I even have vitiligo. And I'm like, yes, I do. It is on my face, but you can't see it because of my facial hair. And I've mentioned that in other podcasts. However, it is spotted all across my body. And with that, the part of vitiligo that most people don't think about is the emotional impact. We see the physical impact. We see the physical change. But it's that emotional impact that people go through, whether it's mentally, emotionally, spiritually, it happens. And I'm speaking from a man's point of view. Sometimes as a man, we will say, I'm okay, you know, and deep down inside, we're not. Because emotionally, you know, no one can see what you're dealing with inside. They see what's happening to you on the outside. On an outside, we look okay. You know, we can smile. We can laugh. We can joke with people. But when we get in our cars and go home, or whether it's from work or from a social setting, it's a different story. Behind closed doors, it's a different story because you're constantly watching yourself evolve and there's nothing you can do about it. Of course, we know we evolve through getting old, aging. That's natural. But when you see spots forming on your body, on your skin, it does something to your emotionally and mentally. And that's where we have to be very aware of how we treat each other in our community and how we treat others outside of it and how they treat us. because I feel like it is a thin line for some of us, you know, in dealing with our condition and handling our condition. Some people say it doesn't bother them. And I've addressed that before. I said, I understand that it doesn't bother you. However, if you're not the person living with the condition, of course it's not going to bother you, but you have to take into consideration the person who's living with that condition, you know, and how does it truly affect them. And I feel like for some of us, some of our interactions, it will comfort us if maybe family members, spouses, or coworkers just take the time to ask, hey, can you tell me a little bit about your condition? You know, how does your vitiligo affect you? I think those conversations are very important. I was just talking to one of our members the other day, and we agreed, have that conversation. And I would say within my own experience, very rarely have I had a family member ask me, how does my vitiligo affect my daily movement? How does it affect me? You know, because I could seem okay today, but tomorrow I might not be okay. So it all depends on the individual. And I think it's important for all of us, men and women, with our condition to have a strong support system, whether it's family members, whether it's friends, whether it's a spouse or a girlfriend or boyfriend or whoever. It's important to have that person understand what you could be going through on a daily basis. And it's important for that person you're with to accept those changes. And I know it's not always easy to see you, you know, you're happy one minute, maybe the next day you're down or the next minute you're down. And, you know, sometimes getting ready for a function and you're feeling good, you're looking good, but then you look in the mirror and you see your spots and you're going, wow, I wish this was gone. Not everybody understands that concept. And not everybody understands, you know, that's what's going through your mind. And I've been there where I have on a suit. I'm looking great. At least, you know, I feel like I'm looking great. But then I look in the mirror and it's a reminder of your skin. And then I kind of want to, I really don't want to go. And I think that's hard on the other person as well, because they don't understand, wow, we were just excited about going to this event. Now you don't want to go. Why? And I feel like having that conversation is important. We have to be able to open up to each other to share, hey, this is my struggle. This is what I'm going through. And when we're able to do that, it'll be easier for us to communicate and talk to each other. But I do have, I want to say this is my guest on the line, so thank you for listening. Let me bring my guest on board. Greetings, greetings. This is Mark.
Hey, Mark, I apologize. I thought we agreed on Central Standard Time. My apologies.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. Yeah, we're always Eastern. But you know what, Ben? It is cool. You're here. And I'm good thing I like to talk, so. And I know my listeners like, this guy
okay.
is still talking. So, no, it's all good. No worries. And I was just saying that to the listeners, too, that sometimes it's hard to match, you know, we're all on different time zones, and I didn't think about that either. But that's all right. We're here. We're going to continue our conversation. So I want you to go ahead and introduce yourself and tell everybody where you're from.
Hello, everyone. My name is Benjamin Brown. I'm from Nashville, Tennessee. I'm 41 years old, father of four, and, yeah, loving life.
Awesome, awesome. Now, hey, living life and love. That's what this podcast is all about. So let's start. Let's talk about your vitiligo. When did it start, and what was the effect on you?
Sure, no problem. Okay, my vitiligo started when I was 35, about 6 years ago. It started around my nose and my mouth. And at first, the initial response was a little bit of shock and relief. I was shocked that I had a disease that was uncurable, but I was relieved that it wasn't any more harmful than just an autoimmune disorder that just appears on your skin. So I didn't panic right away, but in the weeks and months to come, it did manifest into a huge insecurity, and I did go into the deeper part of depression, the most depression I've ever experienced in my life.
Right. Hey, let me cut in real quick, because I talked earlier about going through the emotional part. Depression is real.
Absolutely.
And I'm glad you're saying it, because I want our listeners to know men get depressed, but we always say, I'm good. I was one of those dudes. I'm good.
Yeah, I find that difficult, too, in our community. When, as a man, when I do express the times that I'm down, and I do express the times that I don't feel handsome or I don't feel like I'm okay with my vitiligo, I get a lot of backlash. I'll be honest with you. I get a lot of backlash from men and women because I think as a leader, I'm expected to show the strong side, and I'm not always strong.
Right.
So I kind of find that strange in our community that you're not allowed to, as a man, or I don't know, as a woman, you're not allowed to express your weaknesses in vitiligo, or it's not celebrated as much.
Right. And, you know, I see that as a strength. When you can admit that you're not always strong, that to me, that's more
mm-hmm.
strength than that, than always saying, nah, I'm good, I'm good, I'm good, I'm good, I'm strong, I'm strong, I'm strong. No, a good leader will admit when they have flaws, they have, you know, challenges, they have things that hold them back, because that helps bring others to you, you know. And I'm glad you admitted it. You know, we all have to admit when we have these things going on with us.
Let me rephrase what I said. Okay, when I first came into the vitiligo community, they did support me when I was, you know, speaking of my struggles and speaking of the times where I you know, had struggles going somewhere or doing something. That I did get 100% support from the community, but I think there was a point where they were like, okay, time to grow up, and it was kind of like the support
right.
just kind of dwindled a little bit, because I think they have in their mind a timeline as to when you're supposed to
right.
be better. Mm-hmm.
Right. I always had this thought about when we deal with people. I say some people will pull us to where they think we need to go, and once
mm-hmm.
they pull us there, they'll let go. But yeah, some people that will
mm-hmm.
push us, and they'll push us over an edge because they feel like that's where we need to go. But you got to have people that are going to walk with you through it, you know.
And I feel like I'll be one of those people. I'll never forget the struggle. I don't care if I become the spokesperson for vitiligo across the entire planet. I will never forget the hard times. So I'll definitely
right,
be one
right.
of those people.
And then let me say this and for our listeners. No matter how much vitiligo you have or how little you have, the challenges are real. The challenges are there, whether it's, you know, whether it comes through anxiety or depression. Doesn't matter how little or how much, we still deal with it.
That's facts, 100%.
Yeah.
We all deal with it.
Yeah, it's interesting. But that was important what you said about the community. We put a timeline on each other when you should be healed. There's no timeline.
Yeah. There's no timeline. I
Absolutely.
Mean, the work you put into it will definitely help you as a person. So if it's something that you intentionally meditate and pray on and read books and talk to people, your healing will definitely come faster, but there's still no timeline on when that will be. But if you just
right,
sit back
right.
and just, you know, sit in the depression, it's going to be a long road.
Right. So how did you come out of that depression? What did you do that helped you get there, to get out of it?
Well, one thing I didn't do, it was just by the grace of God, I actually met my wife 6 months into my journey. I literally
okay.
met the person who kind of had my back.
Hey,
I remember
favor,
my eyelashes. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Do me a favor. hold that to the end. We're gonna come back to that love stuff in the end because
I'm
gonna dig into that.
Okay.
Yeah, we're gonna get to that because I think that's very important for our community to hear those important love stories. So we're gonna pause that part. That is important now. How what was your relationship like with family, friends, colleagues, and coworkers?
It was a mixed bag. I didn't necessarily feel like I got the support from my family. To understand a little bit about me, I come from a very religious background. My brother's a pastor of a church. My dad's a minister. We were raised in the church. So my family didn't understand it. They're like, where did you get this? You know, kind of like, well, how did you get this? And I was like, it's an autoimmune disorder. They were like, well, no one else in our family has this. So it was kind of like sitting back trying to figure it out type of deal. My coworkers, a lot of them took it in stride. I did work in IT for 12 years. So, a lot of them sat back and didn't say anything. And there was one or two people who had some, one guy told me, man, what is that on your face? And I was like, it's an autoimmune disorder called vitiligo. And I was like, I might, turn all white one day. You know, just trying to make light of it, trying not to be dark about it. And he said, man, I don't want to see that shit.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, when he said that, I was like, okay, here we go, okay.
Right.
So I was like, we'll turn the other way then, because I don't want to look at you either. But it was one of those things. And I did have, was it 7 or 8 police show up at my desk one day, and they said that someone reported that someone came in the building with a ski mask, and they got out of my car because the cameras, saw what car. And they said someone came in the building with a ski mask, and that was when I had 2 white patches around my eye, or a patch around each eye and a patch around my mouth. And that was super embarrassing. And then, I could tell you 100 stories like that. But, you just got to deal with it, You're either going to run and hide or you're going to deal with it. So those are your choices.
And some people don't understand the psychological aspect of having vitiligo. It like you said, the ski mask, people don't realize how that affects you, after the fact. The police show up and you're sitting at work doing your job, and somebody thinks something else, or like I said, with the comment the guy made, about your face and about your vitiligo, and I've been there before when somebody made a comment, what's wrong with your mouth, because I have it around my mouth too, and I'm like, and I found myself, and I don't know if you've experienced this, angry at the world. Everybody, became.
No,
what
Mark,
are you
I deliberately shut anger down because I used to be the type of person, if you did something disrespectful to me, I would come at you. And I knew that if I took that approach, I would not be in a free world. So I immediately shut the anger down. Like I had to, because I knew people were going to come at me and I was not going to be able to say anything or do anything. But luckily I've never had to verbally or get into any type of altercation over vitiligo. I came close one time, but it was just some intense staring, but that was about it.
Okay, cool. Now,
but go ahead, tell me about yours, though. Tell me, you said you had the anger at the world. Tell me about yours.
Oh, yeah, I did. I think the one thing that always set me off is when somebody would say, it doesn't bother me. That always bothered me because I'm thinking, you're not the one living with my condition. You're not the one getting the stares and the comments and Michael Jackson and all, you're not the one that when you go to shake somebody's hand, you can feel that they really don't want to touch you. And then I'm going to say I'm on the frat side of things, I'm a fraternity guy, I'm Phi Beta Sigma. And, you go to give my brother the grip and, he kind of hesitant, like if you don't know me, and they look like, ugh, what's wrong with this dude, So
that's crazy.
It did start making me feel a little resentful towards people and a little angry. And I remember in one relationship I had, you know, I always wore these big sweaters because I could hide my hands. And I can laugh at it now, but she used to clown me all the time to my me and my Mr. Rogers sweaters and blah, blah, blah. And I was angry because I'm going, you don't understand why I'm wearing the sweaters. I'm trying to hide my vitiligo. Until we actually had it out one day, like if the verbals were going. And I think for her, she realized, oh, this is something serious. But I shouldn't have to verbally argue with you and cuss and fuss to get my point across, you know, that I'm dealing with something internally, I'm dealing with something emotionally. And, you know, and I realized, you know what, being mad at people is not worth it. It is not. I feel like people, I feel like this now. I didn't feel like that then. And that was only back in 2018. 2019, I completely went into it with a different mindset. I said, this is my vitiligo. It's going to have to live with me. And that means that if somebody wants to get to know me, they got to get to know me. Yeah, I have vitiligo. So what? Talk to me. Find out who I am inside. What's my heart like? You know, what's my mind like? You know, So I finally put the anger aside. But for a minute, yeah, I was very choppy, very snappy at people. And depends on how you came at me. I came at you the same way, you know. And that's not all.
Well, I'm glad you were able to get that under control, because it's easy to do. You know, some days we feel more strong than we do, and some days we're not in the mood for the BS. And it's important that we get our anger under control so we don't put ourselves in a position where we do something we regret, you know.
Right. And, you know, I started laughing because I started wearing shorts again back in 2019. So for about a long time.
Congratulations, man. I feel you on what you just said. Yeah.
I wear them.
No, because I'm not there yet. So I feel you. That's a good milestone.
Look, I had to push myself. I had to push myself. But I went to the neighboring city, which is Cary, and Cary is kind of a unique place. They look at you anyway, whether you got vitiligo or not. Look at you sideways. So
gotcha.
I'm in Target.
Gotcha.
And I'm standing there, and I could feel this guy just staring at my legs. You know how you can just sense it. So I just turned around and looked at him.
Yeah.
You know, like, I didn't say anything. I just gave him a look. He looked down. I'm thinking, look, if you want to look. If you got something to say, say it. I don't mind talking to you. I'll educate you right here. But I'm like, what is wrong with these people? And I'm walking through, like, whatever, you know. I don't know if y'all ever, I think it was Richard Pryor and Gene Simmons, when he walking through, like, I'm bad. That was my walk through that Target.
The big guy walk, I know what you're talking
about. Yeah, that was my walk through Target. Like, I didn't care. And I did the jerk move. I was walking in, and there was a sister walking in, an older lady, and she looked at my legs and frowned. I didn't say anything. I looked at her. I gave her the same frown. And I'm like, what is wrong with these people, man? You know, this is not your skin. It's my skin, my legs. You ain't got to like it. But Ben, it took me a long time to accept that. Just to be honest, it took me a long time to get there. You know, I work with kids, and then like during the summer, I work at summer camp, and I would wear jeans, burning up, 100 degrees. I got on jeans,
burning up.
You know, But in 2019, I said I can't do this anymore because I stopped going to the beach, I stopped going to the pool, I stopped all these things. I'm like, nah, I can't do that anymore. It's too hot for that. You know, 100 degrees, and I'm dressed like. I had a suit of armor on, and I'm looking forward to putting on some shorts in the next month. I mean, it's already getting kind of hot here in North Carolina, but I know it's not easy for everyone. It's not. So I don't want to take away from any of our brothers and sisters that are not there yet. You know, I understand. You do it when or if you're ready, you know. I have a family member that has vitiligo, and she hasn't worn shorts since she was young. I've never seen her wear shorts, and that's my mother, you know. And I had no clue she had vitiligo until she told me back in 2019. I'm like,
hold on, 2020. Slow this story down. Your mother has vitiligo.
Yep, my mother has vitiligo. I didn't know
it. So you didn't know it?
Never seen her wear shorts.
What in the world is happening? So you had vitiligo all them years, and she's never said nothing to you?
Never shared anything. Never said anything about it until World Vitiligo Day 2020.
Hold on, Mark. Yep. How many years did you have vitiligo before she said anything?
When I was 25, 26. So a good 23 years or so.
That's a whole nother conversation. We're going to leave that right there.
Yeah, but we talked. We sat and talked because she came out with a purple shirt on. She said, you know, I'm wearing this to World Vitiligo Day because she heard me talking about it. And I was like, yeah, I'm going to wear my purple. We're all excited. And we sat at the table and we had a conversation. And she's like, you know, I don't know if you ever noticed, I never wear shorts. I said, yeah, you always, you know, but to me it didn't dawn on me. So, yeah, she always wore, you know, pants or a long dress or something like that. Or, you know, if she had on stockings, you know, that would cover it. And she said, well, I'm going to show you something. And rolled up her pants leg and showed me her vitiligo. I'm like, wow. She said, yeah. And she told me the story, you know, like it hit her in high school. And so she stopped wearing shorts in high school and never haven't worn them since. And I'm like, wow.
Boy, I would have, you know, I would have so many emotions. I'd be like, so you mean to tell me that you've kept this a secret and you saw me struggling and you never came to me and was like, hey, I understand.
But that's the thing. She never saw me struggle. I never showed it. And that's why I say with men, we hide things a lot. I never showed that side. Not to my parents, you know, they never saw my struggles. I never really talked about it until 2019. That's when I really started talking about my challenges. But I can say this. She did encourage me to get the cream and use the cream, which did not work for me. It was an expense that did not work, and I stopped, you know. But you know, and that's one of those things with families. Sometimes you don't know what runs in your family until you really sit down and have that conversation. And I did have a conversation with my ex-wife. She called me one day and she said, well, I have a question. I was like, yeah, what's the question? She was like, would the kids ever get vitiligo? And I'm like, I don't know. I'm not a, you know, geneticist. And I said, they possibly can. I said, they can possibly get vitiligo later in years. I don't know, but doesn't matter. I still love them, you know. You should still love them the same too, you know. So, and I talked to my son about it. You know, he didn't know much. My son is 18. He didn't know much about vitiligo. We really had a heart-to-heart conversation about it and my struggles with it. And he said the same thing. Wow, I never knew. I said, no, I couldn't show that side of the struggle to you, you know. I couldn't show the depression or looking in the mirror and hating what I saw, you know. And I think a lot of us go through that, and that's where we have to be honest with others and honest with ourselves. Quick question. We're not going to take a break because of what I did. Everything I needed to say in the break, I did in the beginning. So we're just going to keep going with our conversation. Did you do any treatments?
I did. I did the steroid cream, and I think you can only do the steroid cream for a certain amount of time, and then it becomes, like, harmful or something. So I don't remember what that time frame was, but I did the steroid cream. And I also did the ultra-band light therapy. Was it not ultra-band?
Oh, okay.
I'm saying it wrong. What is it called? It's called
UV.
The UV treatment.
The UV?
I'm fumbling on the actual definition of it. But anyway, it's where you go and you stand in the. It's equivalent to a suntan thing. Only it's not laying down. It's an upright machine, and you walk inside and close the door. And I did that for. I think I did that for about 6 months. And you do it about twice a week, and you're only in there for up to 30 seconds or so. So,
what was your experience with
working
it?
Night? Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, what was your experience with it?
It seemed to me that it had minimal effects. I think it didn't allow the vitiligo to spread as rapidly, but it didn't necessarily reverse it. And it was expensive, and it was out of the way. So I, you know, after 6 months, I just said, hey, I'm just going to take my hands off the wheel and let Jesus take the wheel.
Right.
And
absolutely.
Whatever is going to happen, I'm going to stop trying to be in control of it and just let it take,
right.
You know, go on this process and see where it goes. So.
Okay. Wow.
I did
awesome.
Those
two treatments. And that works with some of us. You know, we have to take our hands off the wheel and be like, you know what? If I drive the car, I'm going to crash. You drive it, Jesus. You know, you got this. And there's some
exactly.
guys where he needs us to be, you know. Before we get to the relationship stuff between you and your current wife, let's talk about your groups. You created two groups. Can you tell us the details on that and how they became to be, how they came to be?
Absolutely. I believe it was 2018. I was looking for brotherhood on the internet for vitiligo because I felt like I needed to connect to a male person.
Right.
For I don't know why. I just felt like a male would be more beneficial to me. So I was just kind of, you know, looking around and I came across Perry Whaley, Vitiligo Man of Action.
Mm-hmm.
And we linked up and connected, and he just was a huge inspiration. He brought all this, anybody who knows Perry knows how he's like a ball of energy. So he brought this energy, and he gave me hope. And he was like, you know, you need to get up and stop being all depressed and acting like this, you know. There's work for you to do. And so basically he kind of recharged my battery. And he was like, well, if there's not a vitiligo group, you can start one. So I was like, okay, that makes sense. And he was trying to get me to go on the news and the radio and all this other stuff. And I told him I'd do whatever he told me to do, just, you know, give me the direction. So the first step, Tennessee Vitiligo Awareness Network. And it was a closed group for Tennessee. So every time I saw someone, I would ask them to join the group. And it was kind of hard because this area, I don't think, with the exception of maybe two people that I met, weren't connected to the greater vitiligo group.
Right.
So these concepts were new around here. People were like, I don't want to be a part of that. That sounds weak. That sounds corny or whatever.
Right.
And I kept doing it. I kept, you know, I got business cards. I was handing out business cards. Every time I saw somebody with vitiligo, I'd say, hey, I'm starting a vitiligo group. You know, a support group for people in Tennessee with vitiligo. So I got about 20, 30 people to join. And it was going all right. It was going okay. And then once they got connected to the greater vitiligo community, it really started to, you know, the wheels started turning. They were like, oh, this is a whole thing. Like, there's conferences and people really are connected on here. Like, people know each other. Like, this is not just some random Facebook group. So, you know, the wheel started turning. And then I went to trying to get my group going. I started attending.
Right.
Excuse me, hold on one second.
I understand. My allergies are acting up and everything else, so I get it. Just take your time, brother.
I apologize for that.
No,
so
no,
I started attending
other,
you know, groups and things around town, albinism walks and things of that nature, and getting connected to the community. So after World Vitiligo Day, I discovered I'm thinking too small. Like, you know, my Tennessee group, you know, I think we had one event. We had a boat ride. We had like 25 people to come on a boat ride, and we had a day in the park where we, you know, we did events. But other than that, my group really, they weren't too active. So I wanted to just open it up to everybody. And so I opened it up to, I changed the name from the Tennessee Vitiligo Awareness Network to the Vitiligo and Albinism Awareness Network. And I just opened it up. It wasn't a closed group anymore. So anyone who is struggling with anything skin related is welcome to come and share and add to what we're doing. So, yeah.
Awesome. Awesome. Now you attended the convention in 2019. Now I'm going to say this. I haven't been to a convention yet. I was going to go because I just, in 2019 is when I started getting involved with VitFriends and the local North Carolina group. So I missed that convention in 2019. 2020 was canceled. We don't know what's happening in 2021, probably canceled. So I still haven't been to a convention yet. However, I'm connected to people. Please share with us your experience of the 2019 convention.
Sure. So I had heard all the wonderful stories. You know, you're like, you're going to be connected to the family, the family you never knew. And I've seen all these wonderful relationships spawn from World Vitiligo Day conferences. So I was super excited. I just knew this was going to be, you know, like that next step I was looking for with my vitiligo. And when I got there, it was a grand, beautiful hotel. The venue was top notch, Sugarland,
awesome.
Texas, in Houston, right? So I'm looking around, seeing all these people that I've seen online, and no one's really, you know, I think with the exception of Erica White, no one really approached me. It was kind of like, hey, how you doing? Keep it moving type of situation.
Right.
So, and I also noticed that there were other people like me who kind of were just kind of like, you're at the party, but you're standing against the wall, and
right,
you're not really
right.
in the party, you're at the party. So I had to turn that switch on and just start going up to people and introducing myself, and then once I did
right.
that, it was a completely different experience. But I noticed that people who did not engage and who were waiting on the welcome wagon, they kind of left early or had a horrible time. So I think it's important to say this. If you are attending one of these functions, you're not serving yourself well if you're going to wait for the welcome wagon. Just be prepared to engage and to reach out to people, and your experience will be different. But the experience was great.
Good.
I enjoyed it very much. I made a lot of good connections. It was wonderful.
Well, I'm going to tell you what's going to happen next time we have a convention, which probably will be 2020. I've already told Valerie we are going to do the podcast. I mean, 2022, there we go. I already told Valerie that we're going to do the convention, do the podcast from the convention floor. So if you're standing around chilling, I might come up to you and be like, hey, introduce yourself, where are you from? You know, I think it'd be a great experience to put it out there, what it's like to be at our convention and see all the beautiful people. And we'll put it on Facebook Live and, you know, however we're going to do it. So, yeah, so I'm looking forward to meeting people. You know, I feel like this year, 2020, I had an opportunity to meet a lot of people virtually. Like, I've never met Valerie in
mm-hmm.
person, never met Patricia in person, never met, you
yeah,
know, Alicia
yeah.
or, you know, no one
you
in person.
You and Valerie
I didn't
seem
know
like y'all known each other for 20 years.
No, just virtually. And the only people I know are the people here in North Carolina. And I know Terrell because we went to, he went to a neighboring high school and we went to college together. But as far as anybody outside of North Carolina, I don't know anybody. And even within our North Carolina family, we were scheduled to do big events, and everything got canceled because of the pandemic. So I know everybody virtually. And that's why we're trying to put on, like, these different Zoom events so people can get to know each other, because we're still kind of stuck at home to a certain extent with the pandemic. So virtually we can do things where we can see each other. We may not have met each other personally, you know, in person, but we can still see each other. And that, I think that's a great way of using our technology. And after we come out of the pandemic, we're going to continue to use it that way, because I still want us to connect with people, and we're connecting globally. So that's a very, very, very important step. Now, I want to switch gears real quick before we run out of time. We still got about a good 15 minutes.
Okay.
Let's talk about love, your relationship. Yeah, let's get back to that.
Where do you want to start?
All right, let's start with, you said you were struggling and you met your wife.
Okay.
Let's start there. How did she?
No problem.
Yeah.
Okay, so dating with vitiligo, okay? You know how it goes.
Yeah.
It's a struggle because you
yeah.
if the person it takes a special person, basically. It takes
a
special person who basically will see you beyond your vitiligo, right?
Right.
because most people, they're going to see the vitiligo and they're going to stop right there. So
right.
We met online. We met online. And it just so happened that she lived very close to me. And she's terrified of spiders. And there was literally the biggest spider I've ever seen in my entire life was hovering above her car. And she asked me if I would come and remove it one day. And that was the first time we met. And I removed it. And we started dating. And shortly after we started, there was a connection, right? But it seemed like every time we had a connection, it'd get cold and hot and cold and hot. And one day we were on the phone. I was like, I don't know what it is, but it seems like you're hot and cold. Like, I can't put my finger on it. But, like, when we're together, everything is cool. And then, we'll talk and it's dry. Like, I don't get it.
Right.
And she was like, well, I'm kind of struggling with dating you because I don't know if I can handle it. She said, it's not you that bothers me. It's the looks and the stares and stuff like
that.
The
other people.
She was like, it makes me angry. And I honestly don't know if I can handle it. And I said, you know, that's fair, and I'm glad you told me. And I was like, I respect it. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not gonna hold that against you. But I told her, I said, this is who I am, and I can't change it. So I'm just gonna step back. I'm gonna make it easy for you. I'm gonna step back, and when you decide if you can handle it or not, let me know. You know, no hard feelings, no pressure, no nothing, you know. I'm going to let you figure that out, but I'm not going to keep pouring my energy into this with you being on the fence.
Right.
She was like, no, I don't want you to do that. I don't want you to do that. I really don't. I really like you, and, you know, it's just something that I'm going to work through. So we actually didn't separate, and we've been together ever since. And I knew that she was the one when I did dabble in makeup. When we were dating, I kind of there was a Dura blend or something like that.
Right.
It's been many years. I don't remember the name of it, but it was made for people with vitiligo. And I even like sent them pictures and stuff, and they had to match my skin tone and stuff like that. She looked at me and she was like, if you're doing that for me, you don't have to do it for me. Do it for you, but don't do it for me.
Right.
Because I like the way you look without it. And my eyelashes had turned pure white. Like, the eyelashes above my eyes on both sides were pure white. And I felt like a freak. I felt like something from X-Men. I mean, and even with makeup, I couldn't hide that. So here I am, this dark-skinned dude, with spots on my face and white eyelashes. I felt like a freak. And she said, I love your eyelashes. They're white and they're so long and thick. And when she said that, I said, oh, she can love me in my lowest point. Like, this has got to be the one. So I knew right then that I was going to hold on to her. And it was the best decision of my life because she's been my support system. And I've never had to wonder if I'll find love. I never had to wonder if I'll, she was always there. So I just thank God for that, because who knows how long it would take me to get where I am now without that.
Absolutely. You know, and that's one thing I always, part of why I wanted to name the podcast Living Life in Love, because, you know, we live our lives, yes, with vitiligo and the journey, but love is very important as people, you know. And I always say to our listeners, those with and without vitiligo, there's always someone out there who's going to love you exactly the way you need to be loved or you want to be loved. But first, you got to love yourself, you know, because and I had to learn that the hard way, when somebody sees how you're loving yourself, that makes you easy to love. You know, because they want to know, regardless of what you look like, regardless of how many spots and all that, somebody who genuinely loves you, they're going to look at your heart, they're going to look at your mind, they're going to look at what you do, how you interact with people, you know, the impact you're making, all that stuff, you know. And even for my own personal story, I mean, I was in a relationship and, you know, I was struggling with my vitiligo, and she pretty much cut everything off. She said she wanted a dude that had high self-esteem and not and doesn't have low self. What she say? Not insecure and has high self-esteem. And I was like, wow. And pretty much ended it like that. And I had to think, you know, wow, that's what's really going on with myself. You know, my self-esteem is low and I'm insecure about my skin and all that. But I could have taken it one of two ways. I could have let that stop me from moving forward in my life and pursuit of relationships and stuff like that. But I said, nah, she's right. And I told her, I said, you're absolutely right. I'm going to work on myself, not for her, but for me. I had to do it for me. And that's what I said. 2019 was my turning point. But I said, you know what? I'm going to wear these shorts, and I'm going to wear them out there. I'm going to wear my sandals and show off my vitiligo feet and all this stuff and, you know, vitiligo on the back of my legs, on top of my legs. And I'm going to go to the beach and take off my shirt and you know, show off my vitiligo. And I didn't even care, you know. And I'm like, man, this is freeing. So I think when people see that you're free, you are making those movements where you love yourself, they're going to love you too, because there's something about the energy you put out. And when people can gravitate to the energy, that's it, you know. Mm-hmm. And I'm all about the energy, you know. Yeah. And that's the biggest challenge, I think, for a lot of us, is that what we see in the mirror is not who we are. It's what we look like, but it's not who you are as a person, you know. And loving yourself means, hey, take care of yourself. You know, sometimes the first compliment you're going to get in that day is how you compliment yourself. You look in the mirror and say, you know what, I'm beautiful, I'm handsome, you know, I'm this or that. Mm-hmm. That might be the only compliment you get, but that is the first one you should always get that in that morning. Compliment yourself. That doesn't mean it's vanity. Doesn't mean that you're narcissistic. That means you love who you are, and it's okay to look at yourself and be like, you know what, I love you, you know. And I think we need to practice that more. You know, that's something I had to learn for myself. You know, I said, nobody's going to love me the way I love me. And I'm always going to be my greatest love story, you know. So, yeah, just with our community out there, love does exist. Don't knock yourself down because you don't have it right now. It's out there, you know. But just continue to love
you. There's someone for everyone, and this may not be a good example, but I use it all the time because I hear a lot of people saying, you know, not just vitiligo, but people in general, they say, well, I can't find somebody, or there's nobody for me, or all I have is bad luck and all these things. Mm-hmm. But I say, there's somebody who wants to love you. Now, you may not want to love them back, but
right.
If I looked in your DMs right now, you'd have about
right.
You know, three or four
right.
people who would love to rub your feet right now, but you don't want to give them the time of day. I mean, even and like here's the example I said. Even homeless dudes have a girlfriend. So
sure
if
do.
You cannot have a home, if you cannot have a home, a pot to piss in, and you can still pull a chick, I know
right.
if you work every day and got a car and got a nice home. There's somebody who's going to love you. You know what I mean? So,
you know what? Absolutely. And I've seen that many times with all homeless. We're like, dang, they together and they love each other. They don't care. They have nothing, no actual physical, you know, material possessions, but they have each other. And they love each other.
Mm-hmm.
And they help each other, you know.
Hard.
And they may be struggling in life, but they're going hard for each other. But sit here and have all this stuff, and we go, don't nobody want me. Oh, man, come on.
That's not true. That's not true.
Yeah, it's not true at all, you know. But here's the thing, though. We have to remember, words are alive, and what we speak sometimes is what you're going to get. If you are constantly mm-hmm. saying nobody's going to love you, guess what? You're speaking that into existence. You're speaking that on yourself. So we got to be careful in the words that we speak. I think we watch
Absolutely.
What we say to others. But we got to watch what we say about ourselves. You know?
We say to ourselves,
so
that's good.
Yeah. Yeah. So my single brothers and sisters out there, say to yourself, you know, I'm lovable. So when it's time for me to find that special person, or to meet that special person, you'll know, you know. And it happens when you least expect it. You might be, I don't know, sitting in a restaurant. Don't sit in a restaurant because right now we've got the pandemic. But let's say you're going to get some food in the drive-thru. Who knows? It could happen anywhere. You just happen to walk somewhere, walk across the street, going to work or whatever. And that energy, that eye contact, because you can't see the face, so you got the eye contact, you know, it happens. You know, relationships happen, love happens. You just have to be open to it and ready for it when it's your turn, when it's your time, you know. So
be open receptive and be receptive to it.
Right.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, we're getting close to ending time. I'm going to let you take the next few minutes to wrap things up, give us some words of encouragement, some positive words, and then I'll close us out.
Okay. Like I said, my journey has never stopped as a growth process. Like we talked about the depression from the beginning. I'm far from there. I'm somewhere in between living comfortably and being fully confident. Being fully confident is my end goal. And right now, the research that I'm doing, I'm finding that there's a shift that happens. When you fully love and accept yourself, nothing on the outside matters. And then you reach that full confidence, that super confidence, actually. And you're stronger than you were before vitiligo. You become a super person. And that's my end goal, and I'm actually writing about that because that process, I'd love to reach that goal and then share it with the world how I reached it. So I would just tell the world that vitiligo is more mental than anything. It's going to expose every insecurity you didn't know you had, and the process of healing is mental, not physical. And
absolutely.
Those are my words.
That sounds great. Absolutely. And to our listeners, if you want to know more about vitiligo, please visit vitfriends.org. There's plenty of information about vitiligo, but look at the great things we're doing as an organization. And if you're on Facebook, check out our Facebook pages and just to see what we're doing and see all the beautiful people out there. And just remember that you are beautiful also. Just remember that. If you can tell somebody that, just drop them a message, you know, and it doesn't have to be where you're trying to hook up with somebody. Just tell somebody they're beautiful. You know, encourage somebody today. But, Ben, I appreciate you coming on board. You know, I appreciate the conversation, and we're definitely going to stay in touch. Join us sometime for our Zoom events, too, because they're fun. Like I said, we get out there, we laugh, we cut up, you know. We usually take about an hour and 15 minutes or so just to really – talking is also on Facebook Live at the same time, but we're definitely staying in contact, and like I said, I greatly appreciate it. Oh, for our listeners real quick, and for you too, Ben, this can be heard again on iHeartRadio and Spotify. You can always come back to Blog Talk Radio to listen to this podcast, but it is on iHeartRadio and Spotify. Just search for Vit Friends. It's there. All of our podcasts that myself and Valerie have done, they're there. And Ben, you can share this out. Once it's ready, I'll send it to you, or I'll put it on your Facebook page, and we'll send it out from there.
Okay. Shout out to Vit Friends. Shout out to you, Mark. Shout out to all of the vitiligo groups across the country. I love y'all. Love what y'all are doing. Thank y'all.
Yes. Thank you. Have a blessed day, everyone. Take care.
See ya. Bye.